there is the concern, publicity over the beheading of an American in either Iraq, Syria, we don't know where, by the so-called ISIS group. And we're all being reminded and shown is how terrible it is. The people who did that have been doing it in Syria to civilians for 2 or 3 years with, to the applause and encouragement of Washington. And so for them all of a sudden to say, oh, that's horrible. Well, was it horrible when it was done to an Arab? Well, we're joined by Zafar Benghash. Maybe he can help us with this question. Are you there, Zafar?
Hello, Phil. Yes, I am.
My apologies for being a little late reaching you. I have to say, right off the bat, 1 year ago, the United States under President Obama was talking about it was going to go to war with Syria. They had drawn a line in the sand, and they very nearly did it. They were going to attack, you could say, through the front door in order to stop Syria from having chemical weapons. Now, 1 year later, after they stumbled because of Mr. Putin and because of the British Parliament and such, 1 year later, they're talking about going through the back door. They say that there's something called a caliphate that is across both the Syrian and Iraqi borders, and that they have to chase the caliphate. Am I right? And I get the impression this is something like a sneak attack on Syria.
Yes, definitely. That is the impression that I have as well of this situation. Although the Syrian foreign minister, Walid Muallam, today in a statement categorically said that the United States should not come into Syria without the permission of the Syrian government, the implication being that they do not want the United States to get involved in Syria's internal affairs. Mm-hmm. Now, you raised this interesting point that exactly a year ago, the U.S. was threatening to launch attack on Syria because of the alleged use of chemical weapons. At that time, the American intelligence, British intelligence, and a number of other intelligence agencies knew that the Syrian government had not used those chemical weapons. In fact, it was Bandar bin Sultan, who was at that time the intelligence chief of the Saudi regime, who had supplied these chemical weapons to the Syrian rebels, the aim being to cross that quote-unquote red line that mm-hmm. Obama had drawn in the sand in order to provide the pretext for the U.S. to attack Syria. It was, in fact, the British government, after it had lost its vote in Parliament, as well as British intelligence, that had notified the Americans that the allegation against the Syrian government was not correct, and therefore the U.S. Backed down. And as you mentioned, again, because of pressure from Russia as well, and also from Iran. In fact, the chairman of Iran's Foreign Relations Committee in Parliament had said that if the U.S. has its red lines, Iran also has its red lines, and one of them is any external involvement, direct military involvement in Syria by attacking it. So all of these factors came together to dissuade mm-hmm. Obama from going ahead with his direct attack. But today, as you rightly pointed out, the Americans are trying to come through the back door. And let me share a little bit of information with you. In fact, there is a delightful article by Thierry Mason, the French writer, mm-hmm. in on his website, Voltaire Debt. It was published on August 21st, in which he says, and of course he provides evidence, that in April and May of 2013, John McCain had entered Syria illegally from Turkey. He had gone to the Idlib province, And there, he had met not only General Salim Idris, who was at the time the chief of the so-called Free Syrian Army, but in that meeting, and the photograph has been provided, it's available, also, lo and behold, this new Khalifa, the Caliph, sitting in that meeting, and John McCain talking to him. The photograph is available. Now, if John McCain met him in April or May of 2013, when in fact the U.S. State Department had already put this man on his most wanted list, and there was a reward of $10 million for his capture or arrest, then one begins to wonder, what was McCain doing meeting this man, and didn't McCain know that there is a reward of $10 million for him? And why did he meet this man?
Maybe the rewards for meeting him are more than $10 million.
Perhaps, that's exactly. And in fact, there is very strong indication that this whole project, this so-called caliphate project by the group that started to call itself the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, and now they have abbreviated that name simply to the Islamic State, and this man has declared himself the caliph, much to the annoyance of Muslims worldwide, because they feel that a venerable institution like the caliphate has been taken over or arrogated by criminals and mass murderers and thugs, and bringing disrepute to this institution. It's not going to be established by mass murderers or people that slit other people's throats in public and carry out these horrible crimes.
It is a devilish scheme to take all the most sacred things and turn them upside down.
Exactly. It is so unfortunate, and I know that regrettably there are some simplistic-minded Muslims that fall for these gimmicks. But I think the much more serious issue is the fact that because of this group's quote-unquote successes in Iraq by taking over certain areas in the middle and northern portions of Iraq, and America getting involved in bombing activities, that now the Americans are talking about extending these operations into Syria, because as General Dempsey said on August 21st when he was speaking to the Senate or giving testimony there, that we cannot address this problem without tackling this group in Syria as well.
This is the old device of the camel that gets his nose under the tent, right?
Absolutely, exactly. And that's what they're doing. So the whole thing in Iraq, incidentally, was merely a setup or a ruse to get into Syria again, because Syria is the real prize for them, because of the fact that it is part of the resistance front. Together with Hezbollah, Iran, Hamas, etc. And so that is why they have been trying for the last more than 3 years, starting in February of 2011, to bring down the government of Bashar al-Assad, who incidentally was elected in a free and fair election on June the 3rd of this year by a massive affirmative vote of the Syrian people.
Yeah. We're speaking to Zafar Benghazi, Crescent International. You can find Zafar's writings, of course, on the net. And Zafar, this issue of is an additional matter here that is never discussed. The Turkish border is open for these people to cross. I mean, every government now says, oh, we don't have anything to do with the people doing the beheading. But they're not preventing the movement of these terrorists?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I guess they're helping them. Are you really? They must make sure they go across at the right places, and they must make sure they have weapons.
Yes, this is one of those very revealing aspects of this whole sordid affair, that Turkey, which is a member of NATO, has its borders completely open to these murderous thugs. They go in and out, they get their material support from their weapons, as well as the mercenaries that go back and forth. That whole area in northeastern Syria, which is on the borders with Turkey, is under Turkish military control as well as Turkish intelligence control. And as a member of NATO, obviously, Turkey has close liaison with the United States, Britain, France, etc., providing them all kinds of information. A NATO member, that means by extension, NATO itself is involved in financing, supporting, arming, facilitating the transfer or entry of these terrorists into Syria, and yet nobody raises any questions about this.
Mm-hmm. And what about the role? I noticed the Syrian ambassador today said that at Qatar and Turkey, I think those are the countries he listed as the major four element here. Qatar today enabled someone the release of an American, and someone pointed out they say they have no influence, but the Americans thanked Qatar for gaining the release of a man held by ISIS.
Well, you see, Qatar has been playing a very dirty role all along. It is financing these murderous thugs. And Qatar is in competition with the Saudi regime that is, in fact, the ideological sponsor of these murderous thugs. I also want to point out that it is not only Turkey and Qatar, but also Saudi Arabia that is financing them. The Saudi regime, in fact, has allocated $6 billion for their campaign to overthrow the government of Bashar al-Assad.
And $6 billion.
$6 billion. Bandar bin Sultan has actually publicly admitted that. Now, Bandar bin Sultan had, of course, resigned as Saudi intelligence chief in April of this year, but then all of a sudden he re-emerged in June.
He seems to be made of cork.
Yes. He re-emerged again in an even more important position as a special advisor to the king on security matters. So now Bandar occupies that very important post. And I always had my suspicions about his sudden departure because I felt that he is the kind of person that we are not going to see the last of him very soon. And so, lo and behold, he re-emerged in another position.
Bandar Bush.
Bandar Bush, absolutely.
Yes.
So the Saudis, in fact, we need to touch on this aspect in the sense that these ISIS people have close affinity with the Saudis in terms of their ideology.
Uh-huh.
Now, the Saudis follow this Wahhabi Salafi ideology, which is extremely intolerant of not only other religions, but also of other Muslims.
Yeah, they've been dynamiting shrines from the beginning.
Absolutely. And they are so violent in their outlook that what the ISIS people are doing is actually implementing what the Saudis have been teaching them. So although things that the Saudis would want to do, but they cannot do themselves directly, they have unleashed these people. But these people are simply doing what the Saudis did about a century ago when they occupied the Arabian Peninsula. When they came to the holy cities of Mecca and Medina, the Saudis went about dynamiting shrines and very other important Islamic places because they considered them to be un-Islamic. That was the Saudi understanding of Islam. And they perpetrated horrible crimes. They even massacred pilgrims in Mecca and Medina, which is in fact a very, very serious crime in Islam because both these places are considered to be sacred territory and no violence whatsoever is permitted. In fact, people are also not permitted to carry weapons in these areas. And yet the Saudis, a century ago, they not only came and killed a lot of people, slaughtered them, but they even carried out other horrible crimes like rape and pillage and so on.
Yeah. Well, they, of course, were acting on behalf of the most important Middle Eastern power at that time, the British.
British, absolutely, yeah. Yes.
Now, Zafar, the last question, I must make sure I ask you this. Do you think there's a new game going? Also, they say, well, Iran is now going to waver and becoming, maybe back away. But you mentioned that they drew a line in the sand over the attack on Syria. Do you think the red line still exists?
Oh, absolutely.
And on this question?
Absolutely. Iran has said, before Bashar al-Assad's election, Iran had said that they would respect and uphold whomever the Syrian people elect. And so after June the 3rd of 2014, when the Syrian people gave their overwhelming support to President Bashar al-Assad, Iran has absolutely no choice but to respect the wishes of the Syrian people and to continue to maintain close relations with him and to support his government, because there is in fact a defense agreement between the two, and Iran is duty bound to uphold that agreement.
So the Homeland Security people, General Dempsey and President Obama, better take that into account.
Absolutely. Yes. And Iran upholds its promises.
Yeah. Well, thank you very, very much. Zafar Benkesh, Crescent International. It's been very informative. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Taylor Report, CIT 89.5 FM. Phil Condon, thank you very much. Sorry that we muffed a couple of ground balls, but we got everybody in today. So we are glad of that. We'll see you next week.